The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. Hope everybody had a great holiday. John's still away on vacation, so we brought my daughter Meg in for a female perspective of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the effect Star Wars has had on our culture. And I'll be honest, I'm really proud of this episode. Meg did a great job. She actually told me a couple of things I didn't even know about Rise of Skywalker. She brings a great perspective from a girl's point of view. Young woman's point of view, if you will. That's tough to say as a dad. But she's very candid, and it was a lot of fun to talk to her about. And I know most of our listeners are probably guys, but hopefully your wives, girlfriends, maybe daughters can listen and see what they think. So let's head on into, or let me say, let's sneak on into the store. Where's that key under the kryptonite? Anybody here? Is John here? Okay, it's safe. Come on in, Meg. Come on in. We have the store to ourselves. You can talk now.
Okay.
Oh, you're not playing along.
I don't know how to play along. Just watching you whisper. You have sparkles all over your face.
Yeah, we don't know why. It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It has nothing to do with my side job. So, hey, everybody. That voice you hear is my daughter, Meg. This is her third time back helping me out with the show. John's away on vacation, so we have the store to ourselves. So I thought I'd do a little role-playing and come sneaking into the store. And, you know, like John, Meg doesn't really catch what I'm putting down right away. And I'm the only one that likes to pretend stuff like this.
Not much of an actress.
You love to be on stage.
Not acting.
Oh, okay. I thought you did like to act.
No, I'm terrible at it. I tried
it. Do your English voice.
No.
Oh, you can't do it now, can you?
No.
She does an awesome English voice.
I tried my best.
Yeah. Can you do it?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
And it has to come naturally.
All those other times were natural?
Yeah. It's like a person that I have to become.
What's another voice you do with Mom?
Russian.
Oh, can you do that one?
Nope.
Nope.
She's not here.
Oh, you have to do it with her?
Mm-hmm.
I could go get her.
Nope.
No? Okay. Yeah, so we're not down at John's store. We're in the studio under the stairs.
Back in the studio under the stairs.
With no heat.
Back from college again.
Yep, back from college. And just in time for Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When we were able to see it last Friday.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. That's what made me think it would be a good idea to bring you in, is because as I was watching it the first night, I saw it Thursday night, and then I asked you to go on Friday because I had the extra ticket. You were home. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, we went to see Captain Marvel together. We did the... What did we call that show? The show before that? Like Girl Power?
Girl Power.
Girl Power, which was our highest rated show before we joined the Nerdy Legion.
Trying my best.
Yeah. So, and we were trying for that bump. It got pretty close with the Harry Potter you were on. It never reached the top. I think the highest it was the second highest rated show.
You know what they say, third time's a charm.
Yeah. So let's see how this one turns out. So I wanted to bring you in and get a female perspective of Rise of Skywalker, Star Wars lore, and the first question I'll ask you is, what was it like? You're all grown up now.
A little bit. Questionable.
Yeah. What was it like growing up with a Star Wars dad, being a girl?
A lot less princess, a lot more lightsaber. A lot less...
Well, there was a princess, Leia.
All right, a lot less tiara, a lot more lightsabers and guns. I don't know. I would say that kind of how we talked about a lot in Girl Power, that I grew up, it was normal for me. It wasn't like it wasn't a surprise to me to like Star Wars or to know about Star Wars or to want to be a be engaged in the Star Wars universe, which I guess expanding my bubble outside of our small town, going to college and stuff, meeting new people, making new friends. I think at home, I kind of grew up around that little niche of like who I knew growing up, and they just knew that I liked Star Wars, but we never really engaged in it because that's just like, I had you for that.
Right.
But I think going to school, I'd say most of my friends are people interested in things like this that I'm interested in. So, and it's cool to see most of a lot of girls I'm friends with at school are far from interested in it. They just were never exposed to it.
Right.
So my whole community in that is like, let's go out to the movies with all the guys and see the new Star Wars movie. Let's go with all, like, I'm the one girl in the group usually when we go to see those movies, which doesn't feel weird to me, but it's definitely something I've noticed.
So when you were, like you said, growing up, you always had, it was, Star Wars was like a family thing.
Yeah, it was.
Because you have, there's me, and then of course Joe, your brother, is going to be into it because, as you said, guys are into it.
Yeah.
And your mom is tagging along with me because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always been supportive and followed me into all of the movies that I go to. So it's kind of three against one.
Yeah.
In a way. So it's like, oh, you want to go to the movies? Of course, you'd go to the movies. Luckily, Star Wars hasn't gone the way that hockey has when the first time I brought you to the Bruins game. I took you to your first Bruins game. Do you want to tell everybody what you did? We had a fantastic day. We went to the Museum of Science first.
Did I cry?
Yes.
Okay.
In the first period.
I don't remember.
You were like six.
All right. Now imagine bringing a six-year-old to watch a little black speck fly around a giant white surface and a bunch of grown men on essentially rollerblades without the wheels and tell her this is what we do for fun is watch them. Antsy, and I have no attention span for that. I have an attention span for it now, but not at 6 years old.
Yeah, because you're more mature now. You were like, I just got to keep my mouth shut.
No, I enjoy it now, but at 6 years old, I think.
But after your little monologue right there of what you actually think of hockey, now every time we watch hockey, that's what I think you're saying in your head.
No, I actually do enjoy it now. Now that Joe's older, and I think I dreaded it because when I was little, I had to go watch him as a kid, and
right.
It's not interesting at all to watch kids play hockey. I think you can only find it interesting with a mother's heart, and I'm not his mother.
Right, exactly. Good point. Yeah, no, that was funny. That was a tough day that we felt so bad, but, well.
But I've never cried at a Star Wars movie.
Exactly. Do you remember your first Star Wars movie?
That we took you to? Not that you took me to, unless we go back to 2015. I don't remember. I remember watching them as a family here at home,
yeah.
But I don't remember, like, watching. I don't remember, like, thinking of the plot as a kid. I only remember wanting Mom to do Queen Amidala hair on me or wanting her to do Princess Leia hair on me. That's what I remember from being a kid. But that says something, too. I wanted to emulate these people. I wanted to look like them. And
right.
I probably wanted to be a princess, too, but they were added to my repertoire of princesses. They were up there with Belle and the Little Mermaid, who I didn't really ever ask Mom to do their hair on me.
Right.
So
that kind of gets me to the other question that I wanted to, before we start getting into Rise of Skywalker, what you thought of it, because it kind of leads into Rise of Skywalker and what made me think of this, is what do you think of the role for girls, for women in Star Wars? Because let me just tell you my perspective first.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, I thought Princess Leia was a strong woman. But I don't think you could have centered a movie back then like they did with Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's just, and this is my perspective of, I don't think, because like you said earlier, boys gravitate to this.
Yeah.
If they had started out Star Wars in the 70s with a character like Rey instead of Luke, I don't think it would have been as successful. You fast forward to today, and I think how far we've come as a society, as much as people think that we're in the dark ages right now and it's a tough time, I think that now it's way more acceptable. And it's preferred because it's different. It's fun. It's great to see that. And you have characters like, you know, like Captain Marvel in that movie this year. You have Rey, who this entire saga has been set, this entire trilogy, I'm sorry, has been centered around. And people are buying into it. And it's still that was my other question is, do you see more of your friends, more girls that you know, getting engaged in Star Wars now because of Rey? Or do you think it's more, it's still the same?
I would say, that's a hard question. I don't know if I necessarily see more girls that I know getting interested in Star Wars, but I feel that the reason for that is because if you're...
They weren't 20, raised with it.
Yeah, if you're 20 years old and somebody says, get interested in this 9-movie saga...
Right.
And this whole universe that people grew up on and people, like, live for, get interested in this, like, niche community that you're not a part of yet, it's hard for a girl to say, like, oh, yeah, let me sit down and watch all of those movies. And
right.
You feel intimidated almost to go into that.
Like we said about comic books
before.
Yes. Right.
You feel a little bit intimidated to go into that because if you don't want to put the time in, because you don't have that interest, you're not going to put the time in. I do think more people are interested in Star Wars because of the new movies and, like, going to see them. I feel like they're entertaining no matter what. I do think, like, they have their moments that can be entertaining. And if you started at the first of this trilogy and went to this last one, I think you can find your own story in that. And you don't necessarily, if you want to be interested, you don't need to watch all the other 6 before this.
Right.
To be interested in those 3. And so if you're coming to the movies now and you're just starting to see them, that's I think one reason. Or just like you said, when I was little, saying like, oh, like, we're gonna go to the movies to see this, obviously I'm gonna come along. I feel like a lot of guys are more inclined to bring girls along to this. That's one way that I think it would change, whereas in the past they might be like, oh, you're a girl, you're not interested in this.
Right.
I feel like guys would be more like, oh, this is something you'd like, come see it, and then maybe that would spark their interest. What I think has changed in the role of women in the movies is the sense of empowerment you get from them. Because I think to be a girl, I guess this could go for anything we've talked about, like even in the girl power one, about just like females in comics in general or anything like this. To be a girl interested in Star Wars and those Star Wars characters, I think to me has always felt like an empowering trait, like, I am versatile. I can love to go see a Disney princess movie, but I'm also really excited to go see a Star Wars movie, and I'm really excited to be a part of that too. Whereas sometimes I think to be, like, I feel like it's been a very stereotypical, like, Star Wars fan, comic book kid role to not feel empowered by that. You love these characters, but it's less empowering, like, oh, he's into Star Wars, like, that's his thing. He's very
right
into that. Whereas a girl, it's like, I feel empowered to be a part of that. I think it's a cool thing. Like, obviously, it is a cool thing. But
it makes, if I understand you right, it makes you as a person more diversified instead of just being, like, the stereotypical, the term girly girl.
Yeah.
Where you would just like, I like Disney princesses. But the fact that you also like a Star Wars princess, or you like Rey or even Padme, you felt like, okay, these are strong. You are more diversified as a person where you feel like, look, I like it all.
Yeah.
And they all have different traits, and you as a person can embody all those traits.
Yeah. And I think coming from, like, an outside perspective, if you were called, like, a Star Wars nerd or something like that, that could, like, put you down. Like, you could take that negatively. It could have a negative connotation. But I think being a girl, and if you called me a Star Wars nerd, I'd be like, yeah. Like, isn't that cool? Like, I think it's a cool thing that could be go back to growing up with a dad that's into Star Wars.
Right.
But I think it's a cool thing to be a female that's interested in that because you have these so many female empowerment figures in it.
Right. So many characters that you can relate to.
Yeah.
That allow you to say, yeah, I'm a Star Wars nerd. But if you're saying that to me as a derogatory term, you don't know the universe.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't, I don't think I'd ever take it derogatory. I'd be like, huh, yep, that's something it, about me.
Right.
I'm saying it could be derogatory. They could be saying that, but I would never feel, I feel empowered by that. Like, yes, I am a Star Wars fan. I love that. I like to be a girl that knows something, that can engage in a conversation about Star Wars, can engage in a conversation that normally you wouldn't expect a girl to want to engage in. And I think that's something that's changing about the community too.
Do you think there's more girls like that?
Yeah.
And well, and you babysit for a lot of different kids.
Yeah, different ages.
Different ages. Do you notice that the younger kids are getting engaged? Because like you said, at 20 years old, the kid, your friends would be like, even guys that aren't into it, by the time you're 20, you're not into it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but what about little girls getting more? Are there more Rey fans than you maybe were in the past?
Yeah, I think you'll see, just because of, I guess you could equate it to like times, like I feel like your generation was, you were interested in raising me to like Star Wars. You were less like, that's a boy's thing, not a girl's thing. And I think that's just going to keep getting more and more.
Right.
Just as like generations go on, because I don't think my generation is going to be very heavy on that at all in parenting. Like, oh, that's a boy's thing, not a girl's thing.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to be a heavy focus. But I think you'll see a lot of little girls that are just not, I'm not going to say more interested, but just as interested. Like, they're not going to find it odd to be interested in that, and they're going to be excited by it. Yeah, I think of the parents that I've worked with, a lot of dads are interested in getting their daughters interested in whatever they are, as long as much as their sons are too. I think if you go to Disney now, especially with the new Star Wars world there, you're going to see a ton of little girls dressed up as Chewbacca, dressed up as Rey, dressed up as anything, because they just think it's fun and cool, and
right,
they love it. So
dressed up as Luke if
yeah,
they wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, they...
Which is
just
funny because Rey's costume is very similar to Luke's, so you could do
yeah
in whichever you want to be. It's not out of place. There's nothing in. Again, we'll get into the movie, but watching Rise of Skywalker, that's what really, really struck me as so much different than it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
In that, in me as a person, now granted, I was 7 years old when Star Wars came out. I'm not saying this in a bad way for me, but for a guy, a kid, a boy, I would never look as a kid. That's just the way it was. It
yeah.
sounds cruel, but I would never look to a girl as a superhero.
Yeah.
I liked Wonder Woman. Linda Carter, that was a great TV show. But it still was, as a kid, that was just different. That wasn't Batman. That wasn't Superman. And I think over the years, the way things have changed, it is absolutely, to me, it's an amazing transition to me that my perspective is everything is equal.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
You know, Gal Gadot playing Wonder Woman, and it's the way they brought her into that movie, and she showed up the two guys, Batman and Superman.
Yeah,
in BVS, she dropped in. That's my favorite scene. She drops in like, don't worry, guys, I got this. And those little things, it makes a huge culture change that I've noticed in myself, that I look at women characters and I don't look at women characters. They're just characters now. And I think it's for me, that's really cool, because I can feel it and see it in myself. And I'm wondering if it's changing, if like kids your age, 20-year-olds, and if they recognize that.
I think something that I just thought of, I think tomboy is a lot less of a term now.
Oh,
I think if you like Star Wars, if a girl likes Star Wars, when you were growing up on Star Wars, you'd be like, you wouldn't be against it, but you'd be like, oh, she's a tomboy. She likes Star Wars. Whereas now, I think it's not a tomboy thing to like Star Wars, to like these things, especially with the women in it. Something else interesting that I think Star Wars has done with women is I've never seen Star Wars, especially in their costuming, anything sexualize a woman, which is really interesting, because that's something...
Padme had a little bit.
Yes.
In that one where it miraculously ripped her suit in just the perfect places to show the belly.
That's true.
But that was one small thing.
And also, obviously, like, nothing against Padme, but... we'll talk about this later and like how thing like I don't know like how movies have changed and characters, but I think a lot of the side female characters in the original movies were a lot more like save me types.
Yes.
Save me, yes. Love story. They were there for that. Whereas now they're not there for that.
Right.
But I think
that's
if you look at
honestly, I think that's what made Leia different. Yes, she got saved in the first one, but she was also, she was a badass to herself.
Yeah.
She was wisecracking, and it was like, it was almost like just saving a guy.
Yeah.
She wasn't the damsel in distress, like, oh, help me. Mm-hmm. I'm in the tower. Help me. She was. She was literally, when she got saved, she's like, great, you idiots are the ones that are saving me.
Yeah, I agree. She got saved in the way that anyone would need to get saved. Like, everybody needs saving. Not everybody needs saving in the, oh, I need you to help me way.
Yeah,
like, that's, she was like, yeah, I'm trying. Like, everybody needs to get saved. It's happened to pretty much everybody in the movie. Somebody gets taken, and they gotta go rescue them again. Like,
right.
It's a pretty good theme in the movie. Somebody's somewhere in the ship. We gotta sneak around, like, avoid the stormtroopers. Let's go find them.
Yeah.
But it's not. That wasn't like a. But so I think Padme was probably one of the early on typical female figures. But if you look at the females now, they're, like you just said, Rey's attire is a lot like Luke's was. It's there's nothing there that you could be like, oh, they're trying to make her into like a sexual figure. Or,
right.
Whereas
and
when you look
did,
at...
Obviously, they did it briefly with Leia, too, in the Jabba the Hutt scene.
Yeah.
The bikini.
Yeah. But the... And then even our female side figures now in these newer movies, they... You don't see it. It's just not something you see. They're there just like the guys are there. They do the same things. Everybody's... Like you said, it seems very equal to me, which I think is cool because even now with superheroes, you still see, like... Captain Marvel's suit, very form-fitted, very, very, like, you have, like, I don't know if anybody listening is going to understand what I mean by sweetheart neckline.
Oh, trust me. Oh, my fuck. Dr. Joe? Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to know. He was just mentioning to me the other day.
It's a neckline that's very, like, shapely. And so, but that's used in a lot of, like, think of Wonder Woman's W and the way it goes up across the chest and, like, the circle, the formation. It, even if it's covered, it accentuates that. That's something Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman, all of them have it. But Star Wars, it's just normal. It's just normal clothing. What I like, something I could put on, and it wouldn't be like, oh, pumpkin, you can't. That can't be your Halloween costume. Yeah. Like that's. So I think Star Wars has done a really good job with that, and why I think it's something a lot of dads would want to get their little girls interested in, and why it's something they're excited to share with them.
Yeah, that's. I didn't even think of that. That's a good point. It's, yeah, go ahead, dress up like Rey.
Wrap yourself in ace bandages, please. Yeah. Cover up. You want to be a mummy or Star Wars? We have the supplies for both.
Yeah. And it gets you out of that snowsuit that you've been wearing that you get to take off when you're 30.
Yes, so I can be Rey until I'm 30.
Yeah, your dating attire, as I call it.
No makeup either. She doesn't wear, maybe
no.
A little.
Yeah.
Not, well, technically she doesn't wear makeup. You can tell if you really know what makeup is, but.
Right, right.
She's got a little bit. That's that natural look.
Yeah. All right, you want to do our best to transition into Rise of Skywalker?
Yes, let's go for it.
See, get your, it's probably all intertwined anyways.
Yeah.
With, I mean, I really felt it was, but I want it, people heard my perspective of it.
Mm-hmm.
Heard John's, obviously I have new stuff John and I will talk about, but. This is your day. This is the female perspective. So what did you think of the movie?
I loved it. I loved almost every part of it.
I can't wait to get to the part that we're going to argue about, which is a complete role reversal. What my listeners are going to be like, what?
I'll argue it to no end.
I know. Well, we can't argue it to no end. I'll run out of tape.
Because you do this on tapes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way things work today.
Right. It's a studio under the stairs. We're not high budget.
I feel like that'd be higher budget than
a
computer.
I know, huh? Exactly.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved everything about it. I think I like Star Wars. I probably love things more. I loved this movie, though. I think it's the first time I watched a Star Wars movie and I like couldn't take my eyes away from the screen, which I don't want to offend anybody by saying that, but it's just, I like Star Wars. I enjoy the characters, but like I said, when we started watching Star Wars, I was little and you and I had a conversation how when you were 7 and you started watching Star Wars, you got one movie.
Yep.
Then you got the next movie when you were 10. Then you got the next one when you were 13. So you had time to...
3 years to digest.
To digest. And to me, it was like, here's all of these movies when you're 6 or 7 years old. And you're like, what's going on?
Right.
Like watching The Black Speck on the ice. It's it's hard to follow as a kid. So I feel like Star Wars was something I enjoyed. I went along with. This is something I feel like now I want to go back and I want to rewatch all of it. I want to get into, like, I am into it, but I want to go back and I want to get really into it and I want to...
Into the movie or into the entire saga?
The entire saga. Nice. I want to go back and I want to see all the little things. I want to get deep into it. I want to analyze everything I can. And like I said, it's hard for somebody to want to do that
right. At
my age. And I think this movie can make people want to do that because it was so good.
So what was your favorite part? What makes it so good? Just try to pick, like, if I say that, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
The scene with Ben and Han Solo.
Oh, when Han showed up behind him?
Mm-hmm.
And now, with your knowledge, did you, when he said, hey, kid, I think that's what he says, right? Hey, kid.
I don't know.
I think it's like, but he's off screen. You just
hear
it. Did you know that was him?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yep. I knew it was him, and...
proud dad moment.
I think, I don't know if you know this, so I'm going to tell you.
I knew it was him.
No, I know a part where, you probably know it. I'm really excited that I figured it out on my own, though.
Oh, cool.
When they're standing there and he threw his lightsaber, or whatever he threw. Did he throw his lightsaber?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he threw it.
Into the ocean?
Yep, he's done with it. Like, he's deciding to be Ben. He's deciding not to be Kylo Ren. He wants to be Ben, and Han Solo was able to change his mind on that. And then he said, Dad. And his dad looked at him and he said, I know. Didn't say anything. Do you know what that was?
Off the top of my head right here? No.
I love you. I know.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Empire
no,
Strikes
yes.
Back.
Okay, I thought it was something else. Yeah, no, I did
no,
know that.
I love that. That I
but
loved
do you know
it.
What it's a callback to?
Yeah, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, okay.
When him
oh,
and
yeah,
Maya
you just
say.
Said that. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, I no,
thought that
I knew.
Was, that gave me chills. I thought that was one of the coolest things. Like, he didn't say it. He said, I know. And that,
right.
like, to me, I was proud of myself, first of all, because I was like, I get it. I get a reference.
Captain America over here.
Yeah.
I got that one. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I am. I literally am Captain America.
Yeah, yeah. No, the way you said, like, he threw the lightsaber away, I thought there was something else that you were going to say. And I'm like,
no.
I'm like, no, all you had to say was just like when he said, I know, that's the, I mean, anytime Han says, I know,
yeah,
that's
I just,
a cool scene.
I thought that was a cool scene. I just thought it was really mean. I like that he had to flip from the dark to the light. And I really like that Rey had to he had to accept the light and Rey had to accept the dark. And I like that, like, she had to accept that was a part of herself. If she kept hiding from it, she would have never gone.
You mean at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was, like, the whole end of the whole conclusion to the saga, not just the end of the movie, the conclusion to the story.
Right.
Everybody, like, kept trying to, like, push light, push light, push light, but they had to accept within themselves. He had to accept, okay, he's now accepted there's a dark part of me, obviously, because of all the things he's done.
Ben.
Yes.
Yes.
But now he has to accept I can be a part of the light, too.
Right.
Rey, on the other hand, knows there's a light part of her, and everybody, just like all the Jedi before her, has pushed light, light, light. You have to be light. And she had to accept there's a part of me, literally, a bloodline part of me that is dark.
Right.
And she had to accept that, and she had to go and face that to end everything, to, like, bring that balance that they've always been talking
right.
about. And you and I had a conversation of, like, what was always missing. And you had said, like, oh, it was interesting. A girl changed it. Like, a girl.
She did.
Broke the cycle.
Right.
Of all these Jedi keep trying to bring the balance everybody keeps talking about to the Force. Everybody keeps talking about a balance. And you told me right after the movie you thought it was really interesting that a female broke that cycle. But I don't see it as much as a female breaking the cycle, which would be really cool for females. And it is
right.
cool that she was, like, she was a female. And I don't think that's, like, the only thing. I think it was...
Together.
Yeah.
It took two.
Yeah. It took two, and it took light and dark. not just light. And that was the balance everybody was talking about but couldn't fully digest because they were so scared of the dark.
Right. My theory going up to it was that Rey was going to embody the light and the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't exactly what happened. What happened was Rey accepted his dark while accepting hers, like you said. But also it took the two of them to do it together,
yeah.
I felt. And it's like, because like you said, it's like John and I had been saying, like, this is a brutal cycle that's been going on through the entire saga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been like we said, Anakin was the chosen one. Then Luke was the chosen one. He was going to bring balance. And it was always this one person and the stress and the pain that they endured. And a lot of people don't like The Last Jedi because they think it was a waste of a film. But mm-hmm. that story arc, what they did to Luke there, and the reason a lot of people are looking at Luke and saying, oh, well, that's a horrible, what they did to him in that movie, that stinks. No, that plays into exactly how, because Rey didn't do that.
Yeah.
And Rey learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, if they don't have Last Jedi and have Luke's character act that way,
mm-hmm.
where does Rey learn that lesson?
Yeah.
So she learned that lesson from him. But not only that, throughout Rise of Skywalker, you have that running theory. We're going to do this together. We're stronger
yeah.
together. And then Poe's friend there that played by Kerry Russell, I can't mm-hmm. remember her name, but she said that's how the dark side wins, is they make you feel like you're alone. And you and I talked about it. It's like that's what Kylo felt.
I love that, yeah.
Kylo felt like he was alone, like he couldn't go home.
Yeah.
And then one, it took the three of them to turn him.
Mm-hmm.
It took his mother coming to him. It took Rey forgiving him and saving his life. And then the father.
Yeah.
And then all three of them are what he was like, okay. You know, like that's what flipped him together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's the running theme through the movie. And it's like, you're right. It wasn't. Like, I felt like watching the movie, like, it was a woman that did it. And I thought that was cool for female characters.
Mm-hmm.
But you are right. It took a team.
Yeah.
And it took a team of them sacrificing and them being accepting, which is
yeah.
kind of the message of the day. It's like, we've got to be more accepting.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Being accepting of, you think of all the things that Kylo did.
Yeah.
As Kylo. And if you can be accepting of that, it's like, I think that's a pretty cool message too.
I think it's a matter of, first of all, forgiveness. Like, so we've had, like, Anakin, obviously, in the end was forgiven. And that was an important thing. But I think the coolest thing to see in this is, like, yes, forgiveness is an important thing to forgive others. But I think something a lot of people forget is to forgive yourself. That's something that doesn't happen a lot. It's really hard to forgive yourself. It's a lot
right.
easier to just, like, say, I forgive you. But to forgive yourself is something so hard. So to see...
Right. It's easier to hold on to and call it a regret.
Yeah.
Which means you're not forgiving it. You're just saying, I regret doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
so...
Like, that's horrible. But if you forgive it, it's just done.
Yeah. You have to essentially grow into the person, the best person you can be. You have to... let go of the things you've done and take them as a learning experience rather than a regret.
Right.
Because if you just regret everything you've done in your life, then you're not going to grow. You're not going to be the person you're supposed to be. And that's something that was holding Ben back, was that he was putting on a literal mask, but he was putting on this facade of Kylo Ren because he was just trying to push it down, push it down, push it down,
right.
and couldn't forgive himself. And it took... essentially his family forgiving him verbally to his face, saying, yes, you can come back for him to realize I can forgive myself and I have to forgive myself to make things better.
Right.
I thought that was a cool part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And John and I had mentioned that about his mask, in that he kind of did a complete, when he put the mask back on in Rise of Skywalker, it was almost like, look, I'm going deep dive backwards here.
Yeah.
I'm going really dark
yep.
because he's just trying to push the light away.
Yeah.
And trying to ignore it. And that's why he put the, like you said, he put the mask on to hide the light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it obviously it failed.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. You know, it was, which I thought was fun too. Growing up, it was always the dark was pulling you.
Yeah.
Most people are good. and the dark pulls you.
Yeah.
And Kylo, it was a great character in this arc, this trilogy, where he was dark.
Yeah.
As long as we knew him, because when he was a little kid, he was probably wasn't dark. He went there. But as long as we knew him in the trilogy, he was always dark, but the light was pulling him back, which was a unique twist to what we grew up with in the first six movies.
Yeah, I think the whole theme of, like, imperfections of just what I think is probably the most important thing out of this movie is, like, Kylo Ren and Ben together kind of inhabited that. Of, like, there's imperfections and he, like, has to get over them. And that, in the end, is the balance, as they both have to accept their imperfections. But I thought it was displayed really well in his mask with the red, when they put it back together, the cracks. Which I also thought the movie did a really good job of tying in a different twist on, like, spirituality. So if you think about the Force and how that could be... something, well, they explain what the Force is. It's
right.
Like, but it's like a spiritual thing. It's not a religion. They're not religious towards the Force. It's a,
right.
It's more of a spiritual grounding that exists within the Star Wars universe. And I thought, this is just like the nursing student in me coming out with all my cultural diversity classes. But some things I noticed is that they tied in that spirituality that a lot of cultures have that is less dominant in, like, our Western culture, where you're more of a, like, different denominations of religion, but more in Eastern cultures, you see a lot of, like, Eastern Asian cultures, there's so much spirituality, like, 50% of China even doesn't identify with a religion, they identify more spiritually, and so his mask is a traditional, like, art of piecing back together broken China, like,
oh really?
Yeah, so they take gold and
see the cracks.
Yeah, so you see the cracks.
So that's like almost symbolic
of the
you can be broken, yep, but put back together, mm-hmm, and they don't want to even hide the fact that it was broken.
Yep. So instead of, they could do it seamlessly if
they wanted. I should do that for the bumpers I do then.
Yes.
Why am I making them look like it never happened? I should make these cut. Look, yes, be proud of the accident you were in.
Accept your imperfections. You're not a perfect driver.
Exactly.
You really messed up this time. Drive more carefully. This is a reminder every time you get in the car to keep your eyes on the road. But yeah, so I thought that
was... And that's why you drove around in that Camry for so long like that.
Exactly.
In your first car.
Duct tape that bumper right back on. Gorilla tape, people. It's not sponsored, but it should be.
Let me do a little dad moment here. I'm
okay,
so proud. She damaged her bumper in the middle of the winter and it shattered because it was so cold. It was like, 0 degrees out and you bumped into something and
it
shattered.
Freeze. It wasn't even icy. It was just freezing out.
But you just, like, you bumped into something on the side of the road and it shattered your bumper, but it was all still intact, but it was just shattered and floppy. And it was
there was a crack.
Oh, a bunch of them. And you went and got matching duct tape.
No, so what happened was my bumper cracked when I hit the side, and it was so cold everything was like frozen So I hit the side, and I had it was a plastic bumper, and so it cracked a little bit. And then the whole rest of the week was absolutely freezing, like you said, like zero, and like wind chills of feels like -24. And I kept driving with that crack, and then it, like, I guess every bump I took, it was like crack
a little more. The plastic's so brittle.
Because it's so cold out. And I was driving at a dance one day, and I had a car full of kids. We were going to Denny's, so excited. Going down the driveway, and it's a big hill, this driveway, a lot of potholes. But I'm going down, and I hear, I hope you enjoyed that if you have headphones on. And I was like, no way. It can't be. I stopped my car, get out, and my bumper's dragging on the ground. So I got all the kids out of the car. I was like, go get duct tape. So I originally duct taped it back on so I could still continue my journey to Denny's. And then when we got home, I found Gorilla Tape, black Gorilla Tape, because I had a black bumper at the time, and I taped it real good, like every way I could tape it. That stayed on till what, June?
Yeah.
That was February that had to have happened, and I didn't change that at once until June.
And it matched.
Stayed perfectly.
I came out one morning, and you were still in bed or whatever, and I was looking, and I'm like, wow. She did, like, like a guy's tape job.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say it that way. That sounds sexist, but she did it as a guy's tape job. It was an awesome job. You didn't just, and you went into the seams, into the vents. You didn't just like wrap it and hold it. You made it look like it wasn't even damaged.
Yep.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So back to our imperfections. Yeah. That's something they didn't do. They very well could have seamlessly, with all the technology they have in the Star Wars universe, they very well could have seamlessly done up his mask, but they filled the cracks
in red,
which that's like a nod to that art that they do to, they accept the imperfections.
That's pretty cool.
That's kind of on his journey. And then at the end, did you notice they do a overhead shot of when Ben climbs back up? And him and Rey are laying in the yin-yang position.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not notice that. And you know how much I like yin-yang.
Yeah. So you see it. She's in the white. Oh, he's in the black. And so you see that.
Thank you.
You see that nod to the, it's not like a perfect yin-yang. But
no,
you
but
see
it's
that,
a, yeah, neither is the one I have on me.
Yeah. So you see that nod to the yin-yang, which is really cool because that is the point where the balance has been restored, and that's and yin yang is all about the light and the dark. You need both of them to have balance. You can't have all light, you can't have all dark,
no.
And that's what they represent together.
You can't have good without bad, because you wouldn't know what good was if you didn't have bad.
Yeah, and that's what the dyad is. It's that yin yang balance, and that all that spirituality from the yin yang is embodied in the whole saga. If you see that, you're like, whoa. It's like a mind blown. Like, this is what it's
been
about.
Oh, I can't wait to get back and see that.
Yeah.
Like you said before, when you were saying you want to go back and watch all the other movies, I want to go back and watch this movie because, as I said to John the other day, I'm like, there's every scene in this movie, I feel like it's symbolic in one way or another. Yeah. And it's like, clearly, I don't have the knowledge to even get all the symbols, but like, you do. Or you got that one. There's probably stuff
There's probably so many more that people are more knowledgeable than us could pick
out.
Right.
And that's what we've always said when you were growing up. It's like everything means something.
Exactly.
When you're writing a story like this or you're making a movie, everything means something. Mm-hmm. It's like the artist, author, the whatever is even like the actors, whatever they're wearing, if there's a reason they picked that. Like her hair. I don't know why her hair looks like that, but I'm sure there's a reason somewhere in Star Wars or somewhere there's a writer that's like, it could be something simple. Like her hair could be like that because the hairstylist did her daughter like that and it was a nod to her and it just stuck.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? There's always a reason. Nothing's just like accidental.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is an accident, somebody will find a reason that it's cool.
Yeah.
And it'll stick, you know? But yeah, I did not notice that yin yang and I'm dying to see that now. Before we get to the big argument.
Okay.
What'd you think of Leia in this episode? This movie.
I liked her. I feel like she was a lot the same. I feel like from just a moviegoer perspective, I was trying really hard to see how they did it, how they got her character in there from like previously done things. And I feel like I was very zoned in trying to figure that out and watch it. I enjoyed her support role in bringing up Rey and developing Rey, even though she knew that she was dark, that she was a Palpatine.
Right.
Like, I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed that she didn't just put her, like, just shove her aside because of that and because she wanted to do that.
See, what I liked about it, and another reason why I wanted to bring you in, is because it was that Luke tried to train Rey, tried to train Ben, and it's that masculine side that just isn't, that just doesn't have the same motherly quality that Leia, as a powerful, even, you know, trained as a Jedi, but she still had that quality to be able, and the strength to allow Rey to be who she is.
Yeah.
And still cultivate that, even at the risk of what she could become.
Mm-hmm.
But as I honestly don't think that a male character could do that. I just don't feel like that would be natural for a male, because call me sexist or whatever, I just feel like men have a role and women have a role because they both have their strengths. And I just don't think a man's strength is that nurturing thing. You know me as a dad. It's like
men are a lot more literal in there would be a lot more literal in their training. And, I mean, you see the whole beginning with Rey where she's like, speak to me or whatever. She wants be with me. She wants all the Jedi to be with her. She's like, it's not working. And Leia's like, it will work. Like, I promise. Like, when it needs to work, it's going to work. Whereas I feel like a man might, not to be sexist again, but like where a man might be like, you're right. What's wrong? Like, we need to fix this problem.
Right. I got an answer. Or we're looking for it. Whereas a woman is like, I feel like it's a more feeling type thing where a man is, like you said, it's more literal. Like, I mean, you and Joe, obviously that's my two examples of kids, but you and Joe could not be more opposite. I mean, he's going to school to be an engineer because he's so factual.
Yeah.
You're going to school for nursing because you care and you just want to help. You don't care about facts as, I mean, you do. You have to learn them.
I have to learn the facts.
But you also have, there's a nuance to it too, whereas I feel like a guy, one of my best friends in high school is just like Joe and there is no nuance in him.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's just not the way it is. And not, and there's, I feel like I'm more in the middle. I feel as a person, I actually might lean a little bit more to your side than I do to Joe's, but I love facts. I love science, but, and everybody's different. But if you were going to stereotype, that's what you would do. And I feel like you and Joe are almost stereotypes.
I think it's that, like, it's not the what you're interested in. It's more of the application of that. So, like, our career paths are the application of what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like facts and science, but I'm applying it in a very different way than he is.
Right.
Something interesting a professor said in one of my friend's classes was, it was a class about behavior in like in employees and in a company within that. And it was all about how to be an effective manager. You can't just manage. Like, you have to understand the behaviors of other people and different personalities, whatever. And one thing that I love that this professor said was she said to all the boys in the class, all the men in the class, she was like, when a girl needs to talk about something, she doesn't want your advice unless she deliberately asks for your advice.
Right.
She doesn't, like, stop giving advice because that's not what she wants. And I found it's funny because it's something that's so true. Sometimes I'll get so fed up with advice because that's not what I want. I just want to talk. I just want to say what's on my mind and have it be done with. I don't need to fix the problem. Men are fixers.
Right.
They're like, I need to fix this. And that is something that I think you've seen in all the other people who have trained Jedis, is they're trying to fix the problem, whether it's within that individual of we need to fix what you're doing or we need to fix this problem of bringing balance to the Force. They're very straight to the point, fix, fix, fix. Whereas Leia was saying, it's going to take time. We need to, like, think through it. We need to feel it. Like, don't, it's not you. Don't worry about it.
And that's what they did in the movie. Remember, like, she was training probably more than any Jedi. She was actually, they actually did hold her back. Leia held her back because when Poe and Finn came back.
Poe and Finn were like, we needed you there. We needed to fix this problem.
Right.
But she was not there to fix. She wasn't. They were like, we need to fix, 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 fix all these little problems along the way.
But that's Band-Aids on a Death Star.
Exactly. Exactly. It's Band-Aids on a failing kidney. It's not going to work.
Right.
It's not. You got.
I tried to bring it to the Star Wars universe. You brought it to your nursing program.
Well, you said Band-Aids.
I know.
Band-Aids on anything. It's
a lightsaber on a Death Star.
But yeah, it's, that was something interesting, I guess, too, that, like, now that you bring it up and I think about it, that is a good rule that Leia had. And I think that's probably the coolest rule she's had.
Yeah.
I think the most original role, I'll say, because she was very much the sassy, independent female. But now you get Rey, who's a super independent, like, she doesn't need no man, pretty much. You get that role. And so that kind of takes over that part of Leia. She's much less of the sass. I think that is kind of a generational thing, too, is more of the empowerment. But, I mean, I think you can be sassy, too. But it's just like a character difference, but something that Leia has now for herself is that motherly, nurturing role that you didn't really get to see because she has a son, but he's Kylo Ren.
And
you didn't get to see him grow up either. But you get to see how her motherly, nurturing ways pay off and how her experience is passed on to almost a daughter, which kind of the whole end of the movie is like.
Right. Yeah. So let's get to that end of the movie that we completely disagree on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I hate, 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 double
Mind
hate,
you, she loves the
loathe
movie.
Loathe entirely. Merry Christmas. The kiss between Ray and Ben at the end of the movie, I think it's... I love romance. I'm there for it in every movie, even if it's oddly placed. I'm like, yes, that I, even if there's no place for romance in a movie, I find a place for it. This was not romance. This was, I didn't like it, and it wasn't necessary.
I feel it was.
Nope.
But also say why you feel it was,
Okay. It was, because, first of all, I know they're not related, but it feels like they are. So
because
one,
of Star Wars.
Yeah, because of Star Wars. So that's a little weird. Second of all, it just, their relationship throughout the whole movie and the whole trilogy didn't call for it. So that's also to me, because I love a good kiss between two people. If it's supposed to be there, I'm like, oh, that is great. I'm so happy. My heart is happy. This, if it's kiss that isn't meant to be there, it's just uncomfortable. It's, I felt uncomfortable, and I never feel uncomfortable. My friends say nothing makes me feel uncomfortable. I'll talk about anything. I'll look at anything. This, get the screen away.
See, I was, I could not be more opposite. I felt like that sealed with a kiss. I mean, it, that's the, I know, and you're
sealed
you're like,
with a wear a dyad. We, our souls are pretty much linked. This was meant to be this. We just did this together. We don't need to kiss.
Right. I liked the symbolism of it. I liked that they did come together. Like, your alternative, and we've been back and forth on this. Like, I can't even walk through the living room without us talking about this. But you've been like, how about a nice hug? And I'm just like,
not a little hug. You do a weird hug sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not a hugger. I don't like hugging.
You do like a little side hug, and most people that you hug are littler than you, because you hug me and mom, and that's probably it. So you have to do like a weird little person to tall person hug. But I mean like a nice, like, we did it hug. Like, I there are even hugs in romantic movies that I think are better than a kiss. Like a just embrace. It's not a hug, an embrace. And that would have been perfect. End
no,
of story.
And I agreed with you. We did have the one discussion where it would have been nice if they did that. And you made that example and kind of like tipped me. But I don't mind it in the movie. I actually liked it. But you said like a really good embrace where they were holding on to each other. And then Ben faded away.
Yeah, I would have liked
that. That would have been
a lot.
Pretty cool. That actually, I agree with you. That would have been a really cool thing. But one of the things that I don't like that people do when they watch movies like this is, like, they become the director. And that just bothers me when people are like, they should have done this. And it's like, but they didn't. So let's enjoy what we got. And I understand you don't like the kiss.
Yeah.
Because I do agree with you, the uncomfortable part, because there's a split second that I had with, wait a minute, are they brothers? No, they're not. Okay, cool. Because it is the Star Wars universe. And we've already been, you know, we've been tricked once.
Yeah.
Don't want to go down that road. I dealt with Game of Thrones enough, but it's...
I don't even watch that, but I know, like...
Exactly. There was brothers and sisters doing more than kissing. And so it was just, that didn't bother me, but I did like, especially the first time I saw it, even the second time, nothing bothered me about it. And I liked that they came together, and I felt like that was, and you and I have said, I like, you don't agree, but I'm like, that's what put her in the family. And it was almost like that if he had what survived, they would have stayed together. And to your point, they could have done a hug, but I feel like the general population, most people wouldn't have, I think they would have been like, well, what does that mean? Where a kiss is just more solidifies it, even though it makes you uncomfortable, but it does solidify it. There's no doubt there. Whereas with a hug, people would be like, well, is that a brother-sister hug? What kind of hug was that? You know?
I just think it would have been a we did it hug. I think it would have been...
You could have done a crisp high five.
No. It's not Dora the Explorer.
It's Deadpool, but okay.
I was thinking, we did it. We did it. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, jeez.
Bellissimos.
Yeah, no. All my listeners are listening to that. Well,
oh,
actually,
they,
Dr. Joe's kids.
I bet they know exactly
kids,
what it is.
If they all have daughters, they know.
I lost my train of thought now. I think... Oh, you said that you think the kiss like puts her in the family for at the end to say, I'm Rey Skywalker. But I think that everything we just talked about and how Leia pretty much raised her, she didn't, her parents were taken from her. She was raised by strangers and they didn't get her. So Leia raised her. And I think that puts her in the family. The fact that she has no family other than her grandfather, who obviously she doesn't want to be associated with him.
Yeah, that's not a good relationship.
But it's a little awkward. I think that puts her in the family. I think a relationship puts you in the family. I don't, like, between people, not romantic. I think your relationship with family members puts you in the family, not the romantic part. I don't think... this is for everything in general, life in general, and the way I've been raised. I don't think mom's part of your side of the family and you're not part of mom's side of the family solely because you're married. Because you could marry someone and not be accepted by
right.
their side of the family. What puts you in the family is the love between the family members and you. And there is already that love there.
Right.
Between Rey, Han Solo, Leia and Ben, and now Rey and Ben love each other, not in a romantic way. They love each other for their persons, and that, I think, makes a family, not the romantic
so
thing.
So poor Ben was in the friend zone.
I don't think he was trying to not be, though. That's my thing, too.
It wasn't
too.
Enough time, right?
It wasn't... I thought it was poorly placed. I thought it wasn't something that needed... Not that I'm saying everything has to be predictable... But something as uncomfortable as a romantic relationship, because any time a romantic relationship starts, it's probably uncomfortable. And, like, it's just anything like that has to have a hint. There has to be some sort of thing that says this, we are interested in each other, and there just isn't. There wasn't and there isn't, and I don't think Rey's going to be upset that he's gone because she loved him romantically. She's going to be sad that he's gone because, oh, he could have been... Like, he just accepted his good side. Like, he could have carried that on. Now I'm going to carry that on for him. She's not going to mourn him like a wife would mourn a husband or a girlfriend would mourn a boyfriend or something like that. She's going to mourn him as a person and his legacy.
Yeah. But you don't think that, like, her saying, I wanted to take Ben's hand, which is also a symbol for marriage. I take your hand. I'll take your hand. I'll take you. And, you know, that's in a traditional marriage, you say, do you take such and such to be your spouse, whatever mm-hmm. it would be, right? And she had said earlier in the movie, I wanted to take your hand. And he had been reaching out for her throughout the trilogy, trying to take her hand. But she didn't want to take Kylo's hand. She wanted to take Ben's hand. You don't think that that could be some symbolism that they were trying, like they were reaching to each other? He was reaching for her, but he wanted to bring her in as like the princess, like we're gonna rule the galaxy together. And she was bringing, no, I will take your hand, but I want Ben's hand. And so there was
a hint.
So there was a hint, or not, I don't even think that's a subtle hint. I think it was, you know, obviously they didn't go on a proper date, but I think that was them reaching for each other inside of the universe they're in. And yeah, you said they're a dyad. They're all, you know, I get that. But I think there's some elements there that can lead to the kiss. That's, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying like I agree with all those things that they could be hints to this is what we're doing, but I don't think those things make it suitable for the kiss at the end, because
right.
I think, but I don't, the way they acted with each other just was not romantic. It wasn't, and I'm not saying I don't need the whole courtship. I don't need them going on dates. Just the way they emulated their own feelings for one another, because they had feelings for one another, but those were not of a romantic nature to my perception. And it just felt weird. Actually, like, upset the whole movie for me. If that didn't happen, I would have no critiques about the movie. And I mean, maybe people just like controversy, and that's why they threw it in there. But
well, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt to tip the scale.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt to make you feel a certain. You know, it'd be like, ooh, that's kind of creepy. Fine, that's all well and good. That's the purpose. Yeah. Not everybody's gonna like it. I can't. It's not like I loved it. I'm not sitting here going, "That's my favorite part." It just, I had zero effect on me.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me at all.
It's just surprising that we have such flipped opinions on it.
I'm glad that, to me, I'm like, oh, that's great. I thought it was a great symbol of them coming together, whereas you would have preferred a different way. I think we both agree that they should have come together that way, just not with, you don't want to kiss. It doesn't bother me.
I think, yeah, I think the whole taking your hand thing, I didn't take that as marriage. I took that as like a unity, but I think there's more unities in life than just marriage. You know what I mean? I do think marriage is an important one, and that's with a certain person's role in your life of that marriage role. There's other unities in life. There's other important relationships you have in life, and I didn't feel like we needed to make this one romantic.
Right. Well, I also think, speaking of unities, and there's more to relationships or different kinds of relationships, that's what Luke had said to her. There's more to a relationship than blood.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
And that I would have liked to carry through her getting to be a part of the family without that kiss. I think that would have been more impactful if you didn't put that kiss in there. I do think that took...
For you.
Not to be like a girl power person, but I think that took away something from her character. I do.
Really?
Yeah. I think it took away something of her place. If she at the end said, "I'm Rey Skywalker," and that kiss didn't happen, and that kiss didn't feel like maybe a reason for her saying that or feeling like she's allowed to say that, that would have been more powerful to me.
See, I thought it was a great connection, but maybe that could be a more old-fashioned.
Only because it was poorly placed. If it wasn't, if it seemed right to me, I would have loved it. I'm not like... She doesn't have, like, I'm all for women and, like, I think we support each other, but I just didn't think they needed to romantically support each other. It just was weird. Because it was just that one. It was just that one little flash of a kiss, and then that was the story.
And he died.
Yeah, and that was the story on that. But, and even the way she was upset when he died, it wasn't like I wanted to pursue that romantic relationship. You died. It was more of... Oh my goodness, what did we just do? And like, there's things falling from the sky and we won. How am I going to get out of here?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was one of those kisses where you go, that was awkward.
Yeah, maybe maybe she didn't like it. I don't know. Maybe she feels the same way as me. Like, that was weird. Why did he do that? And now she's going to contemplate it her whole life. Was like, was I missing cues? Was I sending mixed messages?
Guys don't think that way.
I'm aware. Females do.
Yes, I know. Guys are like, oh, that was good. So, I forgot what I was going to say. All right, this is what I was going to say. Let's end on a high note.
Okay.
You really enjoyed the movie.
I loved the movie. Yeah, I did. I liked that everything felt symbolic and... that it made me excited about Star Wars. Even though it's the end, I think that's the coolest thing you could possibly do with a movie like this that's ending a saga that's started in the 70s and now it's almost 2020. Like, that's the coolest thing you could do, is for someone to watch that movie and get excited about Star Wars and really feel like, oh my gosh, I could have a passion for this. That's the coolest thing you could possibly do with that kind of movie. And I think they did that.
Awesome. Because that in comics, that's John and I say it like every week. We'll read books. And if it's a number one, we're always like, this was like a good number one. Because here's the story was a little slow, but wow, by the end of it, I was really excited to read the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea. You put out something, if you know there's going to be a sequel, you want people coming back to the next one. So... that's a great perspective, because I always want to see these movies. So it didn't do that to me because I was already there. But I do love this movie. It's like John and I haven't done our ranking yet. We I don't know if we forgot or I'm glad we didn't, because I'm having a tough time where I'm going to rank this movie in all of Star Wars. But to hear you say that, to say that, like, here's a movie, it's not the number one, it's not the first movie in a saga. Mm-hmm. It's the last movie. And to have somebody feel like, oh, wow, I want to go back and watch the others.
Yeah.
I think that's really, that's a unique, I hadn't heard that.
There's, like, with a movie so as important as this, so you have the first movie, and that's important because you have, you want people interested. Then you have the sequels and everything, and those are important because you don't want people to lose interest. But the last one, there's one of three ways it can go. There's people like it, they appreciate it, and they think you did a good job, and they're happy with the way you ended it. They hate the way you ended it. They're disappointed because that was so important, because especially with these nine movies,
right,
this is some people's whole world. They love this. They've grown up on this. You have the high potential to disappoint a lot of people, or you could do what I just said, and I don't think that there's a movie that I've seen in a saga that has done that so well, that has, like, invigorated people to go back however
right.
many years it is. I don't know. I can't do math right now.
You also have a unique perspective.
Go decades back and to...
Yeah.
To
42 years.
Yeah. To go that far back and to be interested and excited, that is something really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You have a unique perspective in that you did love the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the degree that you do now. So
yeah.
There was room for growth there,
yeah.
And they nailed it for you.
Yeah, because I could have gone in there, seen another Star Wars movie, and felt the same way I did
right.
seeing all
that
the
was,
other ones.
Yeah.
Like, that was good. That
yeah.
was a cool story. This, I was like, that.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Let's see what else I can find that makes me
yeah.
like this.
I love that yin yang one you told me.
Yeah, it's cool.
Were you saving that one for the podcast to
Greg
tell me?
Greg told me.
Oh.
I need to see it, too.
It was awesome.
Give credit to Greg for that one.
All right. You should have kept that to yourself.
It's okay. I share credit where credit's due.
That was awesome. That was good. All right. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
You think that's it?
Got out all my upsetness and...
yeah, that little bit. That little bit. That one little kiss that bothered you so much.
Leia might be fiery. I'm not. I'm very subdued and I don't have many opinions.
Yeah. All right. What did you think of Meg? Let us know on Twitter. What did you think of Star Wars? Did Meg teach you anything like she taught me? Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. Or you can email me at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. All right. Thanks, Meg. That was fun. Now we got to clean up the store because you're throwing candy wrappers everywhere here.
Sorry. I really like M&Ms. Sorry, John.
Hey, you played along better than when we snuck into the store.
Maybe I've been eating M&Ms this whole time.
Oh, you're in a better mood?
Yeah.
You got some chocolate?
Yeah.
another woman stereotype.
Give
her chocolate,
a stereotype.
She's happy.
I love chocolate.
I know. Yeah, so does your mother.
It will make me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll pay you in chocolate then for this highly rated podcast that you participated with.
Sounds good.
All right. John and I will be back on Monday. I'm sure we'll be doing a little bit more Star Wars talk, and we have... actually, it's the end of the year. We have something pretty cool in store, so I will see you on Monday. Thanks, Meg. Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com.
So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.